What's the proper metaphor for Europe's economy? Well, not a fast-moving Ferrari.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Averages, of course, can distort, but the 17 countries that use the European single currency as a group have emerged from recession. The 0.3% annualized growth rate reported today is more than expected. And for some broader context, let's check in with David Kelly, Chief Global Strategist at JP Morgan Funds. Morning, Dr. Kelly.
Good morning.
So this is in large part due to growth in Germany and France, but 0.3%. I believe the technical term here is
Well, yeah, the European economy is turning the corner, but as you were saying, it's not like a Ferrari whizzing around the corner. It's more like a beat-up old Volvo trundling around the corner. But at least it's growing. And, you know, I think it's important to recognize that if you look at Europe, if you look at the United States, you look at Japan, and you look at China, we've got the four biggest economies in the world. They're all growing at the same time, and that is a positive.
It certainly is, and certainly different from had we talked about a year ago. Now, here in the U.S., the government's key measure of wholesale inflation, the producer price index, came out today. It didn't budge. Can I, David, finally stop worrying permanently about inflation?
You don't need to worry about inflation, but the Federal Reserve does need to worry about inflation, and they don't need to worry about inflation today. See, the thing is, inflation is a lagging indicator, and what we know is that as the unemployment rate comes down, and we think it will come down, that's going to cause some wage inflation. That eventually will cause some inflation down the road. So even though there is no real inflation pressure right now, the Federal Reserve still has to prepare for the day that inflation pressures will be higher than today.
And many Americans, of course, want to live in a world where there might be a little bit of wage inflation. David Kelly, JP Morgan Funds, thank you so much for the time.
Anytime.
Reuters is now reporting that the Egyptian stock market and Egyptian banks will be closed tomorrow amid a crackdown on supporters of ousted President Mohamed Morsi. The key stock index in Cairo fell 1.7% today. The military-controlled government today imposed what it calls a state of emergency set to last a month. Kicking off in Las Vegas today, the Hispanic Retail 360 Summit. Now, that's a three-day conference focused on what, by some estimates, is a $1 trillion market. But how do businesses market to Hispanic customers here in 2013? Stan Alcorn reports.
There was a time when Hispanic marketing meant translating your ad into Spanish. Remember Got Milk?
When they originally targeted Latino consumers, their tagline was, "Are you lactating?"
Greg Knipp is the CEO of Hispanic marketing agency Dieste.
Translation is really a huge pitfall.
McDonald's, T-Mobile, and Procter & Gamble spent more than $100 million each marketing to Hispanics in 2012. With that kind of money on the line, getting the words right isn't enough.
No. In fact, these days, actually the cultural insights are more important than the language.
That's Felipe Corseni, director of the Center for Hispanic Marketing Communication. Most Hispanic marketing is still in Spanish, but AT&T, for one, has been using telenovela heartthrob William Levy in commercials in Spanish.
Hola.
And in English.
I'm here to show you how to make everyone at home happy.
To appeal to all Hispanics, you have to be bicultural and bilingual. In New York, I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
Learn something about the world by taking a quiz. I know I'm always up for a global challenge on an August morning. Our quiz master on the Marketplace Morning Report is Stefan Richter, editor-in-chief at The Globalist. Good morning.
Good morning, David. My question today is with regard to the Global Competitiveness Report that's put out by the World Economic Forum each year. In which category does the United States actually rank first? Is it A, on competitiveness, B, on the macroeconomic environment, C, on infrastructure, or D, on things like health and primary education?
All right, it's not infrastructure. I've seen the 59th Street Bridge. Health, that would be interesting. We have some of the most advanced healthcare in the world. It's also the most expensive. We also have, I believe, high rates of infant mortality for a country of our size. So let me hold that off. One of the other categories was macro what?
Macroeconomic environment. That's the kind of stuff we try to do in Washington, debt ceiling and all.
No, it's not that. And general competitiveness. I am going to guess, paradoxically, the health category.
The health category, if you are a big spender. Yes, we are number one on spending the most, but on performance, the World Economic Forum says 34th in the world, and I'll spare you the question and just let you know that that ranks the United States between Malaysia and one spot ahead of China.
So again, not infrastructure, and I can't believe macroeconomic environment given what's going on in
Washington. We're 111th on that one, yeah.
So we're just generally a competitive environment. It's the number one.
That is actually the closest answer to it because until 2009, we were number one. But even in this category, we're now down to seventh. As you had said earlier on infrastructure, we are 14th in the world. And that means that the bonus question is we're only number one other than in healthcare spending in the size of the total market. Which country will take the cake on that as early as 2016?
It's not the state of Delaware. It's probably something to do with China.
Exactly.
Stefan Richter, editor-in-chief at The Globalist, thank you very much.
Good to have been with you.
And your word for the day, malvertisement. If you use YouTube, you've had to wait for the ad to play first, the price of admission, as it were. But today, the Financial Times reports that some of those ads are fraudulent, hacked into the video by malicious software. YouTube's owner, Google, worries about loss of revenue, but also about users getting fed up. When the FT contacted one of the makers of the software called Easy YouTube Video Downloader, no one called back, but the software was pulled off the web. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.